On this episode of The Brad, we have NBA University on to go over some of his really cool stats and graphs. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. All right, and welcome back to another episode of Brad on Will. I'm your first host, Will. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff at Bias Houston. Over there, we do a lot of the spaces, the content aggregation, anything you want to, pertaining to the Houston Rockets basketball, we got you over there. Shout out Clutch City Control Room on Instagram and Twitter, and I will pass it off to Brad. I'm your other host, Brad. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at BradNBA for all your favorite Rockets content. It's whatever. I got you covered, and it's been 2 weeks since we've had an episode. You know, we've been going through some troubles this off season. Hard to find content out here, but we're back with Philly. And we have a really fun guest today. We have Steven on Twitter. He's known as NBA University, one of the fastest growing pages I've ever seen. Has a lot of great content over there, so make sure to check him out. But Steven, how are you doing today, my man? It's great to have you on the show.
Doing good. Hanging in. Thanks for having me on. We've been trying to get this thing together for a while now, so I'm glad we're finally talking some Rockets basketball.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's great to have you on. We have compiled a bunch of your graphs that you've put together, and we're going to show them one by one. We're not going to do any segments today. We're just going to just push it out today. So get ready for the first one that we pull up. So Will, you can go ahead and pull up the first.
Well, I'll say we was going for the first part, like for the first time guests, we like to kind of let them talk about themselves.
And that's true.
Explain what it is that they do, and just why people should care. Not that you're someone who we shouldn't care about, but give yourself, talk about yourself real quick.
My name is Steven. I'm from Florida originally, grew up in Tampa area, went to University of Florida, played ball growing up. My siblings played ball. So I got to watch them. My sister played in college. So I was kind of around it growing up, just always watching. It's my favorite sport by far. My physical limitations, stopped me from playing past high school for some very obvious reasons. But intramural legend, at UF. And
there you go.
There it is. Yeah, that's my crowning achievement. And just got really into basketball analytics. I started out just with like X's and O's stuff. And that's why I think people kind of appreciate my stuff, because I come from the analytical side, but also from an understanding of the game itself. And I'm not just kind of putting graphs out there and having no idea what I'm actually talking about. I've done some coaching. I've coached middle school boys and high school girls. But overall, really, I just have a passion for taking analytical information about basketball and contextualizing it and making it make sense for just like the common guy who's trying to understand the game a little bit better, and also having a little fun and having some arguments in the meantime. So that's me, man. That's what I got going on. Now I moved out to Dallas, actually. I'm married.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, I'm living in Dallas, so I'm closer to you guys. Not too close, though, thankfully. I got to stay away from Houston a little bit. I might get turned over from being a Magic fan. I don't want to get the Dallas Mavericks. They're not turning anybody over, but that Houston water has got something in it, So got to stay away, got to stay true to my Magic heart. But yeah, I'm excited to be in Texas. It's been really cool out here. Got married, and we're just chilling, living the dream. I'm getting my master's right now. Just working hard. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Quick question. You said you were an intramural legend. So what's your player archetype? You're a slasher, a three-point specialist, or what's your game?
Yeah, I'm definitely like a ball handling kind of slasher, sort of heliocentric. I have a little like Luka-ish kind of vibes. Yeah, I got a little bit of that where it's like I'm kind of strong and like a little big for a guard, but I can also I just like attacking off the dribble, and then I hit like step back threes, but I'm not really like a spot up shooter. I kind of suck at spot up shooting. I'm better off the dribble. So that's my game. And then like, if I gotta play defense, I'll try.
There you go. Yeah, you can ask Will about pickup basketball defense. Yeah, he's the best at it.
Just hacking people away.
I only play defense when y'all ask me to. Other than that, I'm gonna be off to the side.
That's fair. I mean, hey, you gotta conserve.
Yes, Brad kind of touched on it earlier, but like, you have, in my opinion, not only just one of the best NBA Twitter accounts right now, I think you have one of the fastest growing NBA Twitter accounts that's kind of been put out there. And we talked about this kind of maybe like a last week or something like that. We were like, man, like, how is this dude growing so crazy like this? And we're like, you know what? I think it's because, like, you know, like, for me and Brad, we're Rockets fans. So it's like our target audience is just Rockets fans and, right, you know, people who like Rockets basketball. But, like, you're able to talk to and target, like, all 30 fan bases. So, like, I don't know. I'm just going to, like, how did you get started over there? And, like, how did you, you know what I'm saying, you know, build this platform to where it's at right now? Like, so I think you have one of the most respected platforms.
Definitely.
Twitter right now.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think a niche kind of just, like, fell into my lap. I wasn't really looking to – I didn't really think it was going to be anything. I kind of just wanted a place to, like, talk about hoops and just, like, enjoy getting my takes off. And I just felt kind of weird posting it on my personal page. So I was like, oh, I'm NBA University. That's kind of cool that the name hasn't been taken. I'll roll with that and just see how it goes. But I think people are just sort of desperate for, like, content on their teams and not just the same, you know, couple teams over and over again. And they're desperate for content about guys that just don't get enough love. And I feel like I've been really tapped into the basketball community in a way where I have kind of immersed myself in it. And I have an understanding of, you know, some guys who are underloved and, like, not shouted out enough. So I kind of just wanted to get my start of, like, shouting out guys who I think are good and, like, dudes who just don't get talked about enough. And then that really just picked up a lot of steam. And I think there was a mixture there of, like, I just like talking about these guys, but also it's strategic as far as you were saying, like, every single team wants their guys to be talked about, and they want to hear just kind of some unbiased or maybe slightly biased content coming at them. So yeah, that was the idea. And, like, it's really hard to be unique on the internet. I feel like it's impossible to actually, like, be something new. But it takes a lot of effort to call out guys and kind of do the research to call out players who don't get talked about a ton. And that's been something I've taken a lot of pride in and have enjoyed a lot. So hopefully that's why people are kind of hopping on the bandwagon. They see the hard work and they see just some, like, interesting ways to talk about basketball and just some conversations that I've wanted to curate. And I think it's been pretty cool so far. I'm appreciative.
There you go. There you go. Well, as for the very first graph that we pull of yours, he pulled up a really good chart that showed player openness rating. So how much a player is left open, you know, versus how they shoot as a, you know, a 3-point guy. So Will, if you could pull up that very first graph, we'll have Steven explain that for us. And it's our first time doing this, if you're listening. So if we have some technical difficulties, pull up this graph.
I believe this is it. Yeah, there it is.
There you go, Will. So
poor Westbrook.
Yeah, poor Westbrook. But Rockets related, what do you think about this, Steven?
Yeah, I mean, someone who, I'm not going to slander Westbrook. Someone who really stands out, obviously, is KPJ here. He's like really living in the land of, like, the stars over there as far as openness rating to shot making ratio, which is pretty impressive. I mean, that was one thing, honestly. I mean, I didn't watch a ton of Rockets basketball this season. I definitely watched a couple games. I watched them play the Magic. But it, you know, it's hard throughout the season to keep up with every single team. So as I've been just doing some research and watching some tape, I think KPJ is one of the guys that really has started to flip my opinion on them, frankly, just by watching, because there's just a lot of noise about KPJ and who he is, and what he brings to the basketball court and how, like, horrible and selfish he is. And, like, that was just kind of the discourse. and I didn't see that as much. He definitely takes tough shots. I mean, that's really clear here. I mean, he's towards the top of the league and, like, taking non-open shots or contested shots. But man, he's good at it. I mean, and that's valuable for an offense. And I think that's the thing. It's like, he has a crazy bag. I would say probably the best on the team, even though Green is obviously has a lot to him. But I think KPJ has to overcome a little more of, like, athletic deficiency that Jalen Green obviously doesn't have to. But he's got it, man. I mean, he's got it off the dribble. He's one of the best catch and shoot guys in the league as far as percentage wise. He needs to get the volume up quite a bit. But as far as just shot making, like, he's flirting with being elite, and he's super young. So I think that's what's really, really exciting about his game long term, especially with kind of the roster you guys are building. Like, shooting is really a separator. So if he's really an elite shooter, and that's what he's starting to, you know, starting to flirt with that idea, that's going to be huge for everybody else.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to touch on looking at this, and then we can go to this exact same graph with just Rockets players. It's hard to see, but if you 3-point shot making in between 0 and 1 towards the top, and negative 2 and 0 on openness rating. You can see Garrison Matthews towards the left, LeBron. Yeah, right there next to LeBron.
Wearing a Boston jersey.
Yeah, he is wearing a Boston jersey. But that's a guy who the Rockets will probably need to play in spot minutes this year.
Yeah.
This graph kind of shows you he impacts the game so much just because even though he takes some ill-advised shots, defenders have to respect him because he is a mm-hmm. good shooter. He probably led the league last season in getting fouled on three-point attempts. I don't have that stat, but if every time you watch the game, you felt like, wow, this man keeps getting fouled on these three-point attempts. It's because mm-hmm. these defenders are really guarding him, and they respect him, and that opens up driving lanes for guys like Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, and that's what the Rockets need because spacing was a huge issue for them. So in looking at that, Will, we can go to just the Rockets players for this exact same graph.
Got you. I believe that's this one. There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, now you can see Garrison Matthews is in the clear here, way to the left, alongside Kevin Porter Jr. is way in the top left. Really good catch and shoot, three-point percentage, 48.2. I'll repeat that over and over again. he's the man. But, Steven, I wanted to ask you, you see Şengün and Tate, you know, way towards the bottom right.
Sure. So
I am under the impression, having two guys like that, you know, Tate's in the conversation to start this year, right? But I don't know. Obviously, Şengün is going to start. They trade Christian Wood. Would you start two guys, you know, way on the right side of this graph? They're getting left open a lot. Like, for spacing purposes, you think it's just a recipe for disaster? What would you say? And Will as well, after Steven.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's tough. I mean, Tate provides some winning things as far as his defense, and like he gives you a little bit more off the dribble than I think most people assume as far as just kind of using his strength to get into big guys and like create some space and finish. He's pretty good at that. But I agree. It's tough with two guys really choking it out. That could actually more so than harm the team as far as just, I don't know if you guys are necessarily trying to like make a play in this year. Like the West is ridiculous. Like I think this year is about growth, especially the young guys, seeing what you have and being able to put them in the best position to kind of get some momentum and move forward, and like giving Jalen Green the best chance to succeed, giving Jabari the best chance to succeed. And that is where it's like, man, I don't know if starting Tate and Şengün, that's the other thing. I mean, who else is there that you're going to start though? I mean, it's like Tari Eason, he's not going to really shoot any better most likely.
Eric Gordon would be the other option.
Yeah. But that, yeah. And I think that's how you can kind of start the season. I think the idea is like get Gordon and Tate some minutes and then be able to ship them out by the trade deadline would be the thought. But yeah, I mean, it could definitely be detrimental to the team. It could be detrimental to Jalen Green because he's got those just straight line drives to the rim. He's so excellent at that you want to give him as much opportunity to get those going as possible. But It's tricky. Tate, he gives like at least like a winning mentality out there in the court, which I think is also important, as well as Eric Gordon. So either way, I think you're getting a veteran presence out there and somebody who can play some defense.
Yeah, definitely. Will, before you go really quickly, Steven, were you saying the Rockets should trade Jayson Tate? Is that what I heard?
I mean, he's on a great contract now. I think he would belong on a winner, but you can hang on to him. It just depends on the value, you know?
I hear you. Yeah. I need the Rockets to keep him just because he is so scrappy, and the Rockets, they don't have
any defenders. They need some physicality.
Right now. Yeah, yeah. For now, yeah. I love him off the bench.
Tari's going to be that for y'all, though, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm Tari. Real high on Tari, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I need him starting at the three in the future. But Will, what do you think about this? Just, you know, starting Tate, you know, next to Şengün.
So I'm one of the people who, similar to Brad, I do not want to trade Jayson Tate. I would prefer that we keep him. Like, I know this is maybe a hot take, but I'd rather keep Tate than keep KJ Martin if I had a choice of the two. Because I do think that Jayson Tate is a better, more versatile defender. He's not not necessarily a shooter, as we, you know, this graph demonstrates. But I think he brings a lot of things to the table that won't show up in a three-point shooting graph, right? Like, one thing Steven was kind of touching on was, like, his grit and his edge defensively. And his motor, he's somebody who you want to question their effort at any given point in time. I'm not saying that he is this player or, you know, will be like this player, but I see a lot of like the qualities of like a Patrick Beverley, a PJ Tucker, a Marcus Smart, somebody like that, to where it's like, you know, he will never be the starter team. He probably may not even be a starter on your team, but I think that he is going to bring something to the table that, like I said, that every team that's going to try to win a championship one day is going to want. That being said, I mean, I was thinking this even before this wonderful graph was made. That I was thinking this before we even saw that. I was like, man, I don't think I'm starting Shingun and Tate together, just because, you know, our star cornerstone player Jalen Green is somebody who, you know, and even KPJ to an extent as well. There are players who thrive in having, not necessarily maybe getting into the lane, but just having that threat of like, you never know, is he gonna drive past me? And is he gonna shoot? Like, what is he gonna stop and pull up for the mid range? Like, what is he gonna do? And like, I think when you have Jae'Sean Tate and Alperen Şengün sharing the floor together, you kind of minimize that threat of getting into the paint for KPJ and Jalen Green, right? And that kind of, I think, minimizes their impactfulness. And you know, I think we're all Rockets fans. We want to see Jalen Green put in his best of a position to succeed. And like, I think back to like I said, I know you said you didn't watch that many Rockets games, Steven, but like there was a game, and this is like the most egregious example of it, but there was a game last year we played the Jazz. Rudy Gobert did not even guard Jae'Sean Tate. Like, he just free safeting the entire, and I want to say, I don't remember, so correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, if you remember, but like, I want to say this was after Christian Wood had got shut down. Like, did Christian Wood play in that game?
I want to say Christian Wood did play in that game.
Let me go look. I'll look it up. But it was one of the last games we played against. You know, I think he did play. Christian Wood did play in that game. Like Brad said, it was ugly. He was not being guarded or respected at all on the perimeter. That was with Christian Wood, who, you know, looking at this graph, you know, is, you know, he's somewhat respected, and he's a great shooter, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you replace Christian Wood with Şengün, I do think that, you know, it's not going to be as bad as we would think, because I think Şengün is he moves the ball, so that's something that Christian Wood doesn't bring to the table. So it's not going to be like replacing Christian Wood with like a non-shooter entirely, right? But I do think that, you know, defenses are going to be perfect. If their two options are, we can clog this paint and, you know, not let the two explosive guards, you know, limit that way of scoring, or we can go guard Jae'Sean Tate. I think if they could let Jae'Sean Tate and Şengün shoot threes all night, like, they would be perfectly fine doing that. I mean, if I was the opposing team, I would too. So with that in mind, that's my long way of saying I would not start them together. I would start Eric Gordon. You know, I would trade Eric Gordon first and foremost. Like, if a trade for Eric Gordon was on the table right now, I would pull the trigger on it.
Agree.
I think he's going to be there at least start the season, and probably up until the deadline. Hopefully he'll be gone by then. But when the season starts, I expect Eric Gordon to be there. And I think they are going to start Jae'Sean Tate from what we've heard, and, you know, kind of how Stephen Silas has kind of hinted at it. I think Jae'Sean Tate will get the start, but I would start Eric Gordon if it was up to me. And my hot take, I said this on Twitter, but my hot take is that if Eric Gordon is traded, I'm still not starting Jae'Sean Tate. I'm going to start Garrison Matthews, just because I think Garrison Matthews is somebody, I mean, this graph shows it, right? Like, the defense respects him. There was a possession where, like, when I put this hot take on the internet, I should have, you know, loaded this screenshot in, but somebody, it was like, to like rebuttal, cause the thing people, Rockets fans don't like about Garrison Matthews is he pulls at every chance you give him. If he's as a sliver of daylight, he'll shoot it, right? And a lot of people don't like that about him, which it is what it is for me, right? And so, like, somebody pulled up a screen cap of, like, one of the games where I think it was the Nets game. And, yeah, it was the Nets game. And Garrison Matthews was pulling, like, a 40-footer against Nicholas Claxton. But – and they were like, this is why we can't start him. And I was like, no, that's why we start him.
Why you start him, yeah.
He's getting guarded from 40 feet out. Like, Nicholas Claxton is looking at him. And, like, if you look at, like, the screen cap, like, everybody on the Nets team is watching Garrison Matthews. Like, that's – everybody's looking at him. So, like, to me, that's why I start him, because, like, he will pull it, and the defense knows it, and they respect it enough to go guard him. So, like, that'll give KPJ and Jalen those driving lanes, and that'll give them that threat. Our defense will take a huge drop-off. So, like, I understand if, like, you're, like, a Rockets fan who values the defense and, you know, wants to, you know, maybe include Jae'Sean Tate in that, or maybe you want Tyrese to start, you know, because he's a defensive playmaker. But me personally, I would start Eric Gordon and then Garrison Matthews with my starters.
Agree. Steven, did you have anything else you want to input on this graph?
I just echoing what you said about Matthews, I think that makes a ton of sense with the rest of the roster construction, because then you could just let those two guys come off the bench and let those wings just wreak havoc when they come in. And like, you can let Matthews just space the floor for the rest of the guys. Cause like we were saying earlier, this whole next couple of years is about these young guys turning into superstars, and like creating that space for Jalen Green to be able to do that is more valuable than like the incremental defensive, you know, increase that you get from putting Tate in, at least right now.
Agree. All right. We have some more grass for you guys. Some Alperen Şengün love. He just turned 20. Was it July 25th? So shout out to him for turning 20. One of the young players in the league. He's still killing it. Happy birthday, LP. But we have some fun graphs. With one that shows 3-point making versus I want to say playmaking creation. It's going to be against all the centers in the league.
Okay, give me one second. You said it's 3-point playmaking.
It's I got you. It's overall shot creation versus perimeter shooting.
Okay, I see that one. All right. Give me one. I think it's this one. Yep. There it is.
There it is. All right. Floor is yours, Steven. Talk to us. We got Şengün. He's pretty much almost all the way to the right when it comes to overall shot creation. We're not going to talk about the perimeter shooting. But
yeah, I was going to say, I won't even mention who's second in the league.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, just anybody who watches Şengün play, you can recognize, like, this guy can create for himself. He's just such creativity in general, I would say, is like the defining characteristic of his game. The way he passes, the way he thinks, like the way he moves, like everything is unique and creative. And he's good at it, man. Like, he is able to create unassisted rim attempts for himself. His finishing could have been better, but he's definitely able to make those shots, and especially take those shots. And that's something that right now would be frustrating, at least for, you know, winning games, is like creating a bunch of shots and not being able to make them. But the harder part, the part that's a separator oftentimes, is actually being able to get shots off and have them be quality shots. And then if you have touch, in which he does, like he has touch, he has passing touch, it should be able to translate to finishing. And that's the thing that can kind of come as he develops, as his strength develops. And I would just like to see them get really to match his creativity, like make his involvement in the offense even more creative. Like, I want to see him coming up and kind of setting some like ghost screens and kind of just sprinting into open space and like have them just give him the ball, and then he could just roll, getting him in the short roll, like hitting nice kickouts. Like, man, you get Jalen Green out there, he's such an electric athlete. Like, the defense has to just soak over to him. If Şengün's coming up and setting some slips and just kind of like going around being creative, they can get him the ball in space. And then if you have Jabari out there spacing, like knocking down threes, and some like KPJ, incredible catch and shoot, like that is the making of a very, very legitimate offense. And like, if Şengün can kind of hit some flares, like come up to the elbow, they can hit him and he could just hit some kickouts. Like, I really, really like his offensive game. And it's tough, and it's kind of a bummer, because bigs who can't really protect the rim and can't really shoot threes, like, no matter how good they are, like if you look just to the left of Şengün, like you see Sabonis, right? And it's like, that guy is awesome. He's an incredible rebounder. He's a great passer. You can run your offense through him. But it's like, there's still some part of you that's like, I don't know if he can be my center and we can actually win some games. But if you were going to make it work, the actual perfect person to be next to Şengün would be Jabari Smith. I mean, the oversized, like 6'11", 3-point shooting, rim protecting guy. And like, that's why I love him for you guys. It means that Jalen Green and KPJ and Alpi like need to work out, like, it, cause he's not a Paolo, right? He's not the best player on a team kind of guy, but he makes everybody else make so much more sense. It just kind of puts the pressure on him. But as far as right back to this graph, I mean, Alperen's awesome, man. Like, he's able to really do his own thing. He's really nice off of like two dribbles, like a little pump and go, and then hitting some sweet like interior passes or skip passes to the corner. Like, dude's got some serious game, and it's underrated how young he is, like crazy young, as you mentioned. So he's going to be like very, very good in my opinion.
I agree. I wanted to touch on one thing. I know Will wants to touch on his boy Christian Wood, who's at the top of this graph. But before Will does that, right below, for our people on the podcast, if you're not, you know, seeing this graphic, you know, right below Şengün, a little bit to the left, is that Anthony Davis I see? So
yeah,
that's some good agenda pushing right there.
Better, better than Anthony Davis, right? I think is what we're saying.
Yeah, better perimeter shooter than Anthony Davis and creator. But yeah, no, you know, being serious though, you know, Şengün, as you know, Steven echoed, Şengün is one of the best, you know, guys out there, you know, for a center, just to create his own shot, creating for others. We're not going to pull up the chart, but Şengün was probably the best rookie, and Steven, if you can correct me on this, but he had the best scoring gravity grade on a basketball index. Yeah, so he's able to create so well. You know, the defenses have to pay attention to him, and he's able to, you know, facilitate off of that. So I'm just excited for his future in Houston. Of course, you know, my man's only 20 years old, and as Steven pointed out, it's going to help him a lot playing next to a guy like Jabari Smith, not only offensively, but defensively as well. Mm-hmm. And we have some more Şengün love. We can get a little bit more into the specifics. We have another graphic that kind of showed his scores and grades. Will, if you can find that chart. Yeah, here we go. So really good. So look at that playmaking talent at the bottom for the people on the podcast, 93 percentile. So he's graded as an A. And Steven, I know you posted this. Was this filtered for centers in particular, or is this for every player in the NBA?
The much more exciting answer, which is also the true answer, is that it's for everybody in the NBA and not just
That's
centers.
More impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what makes it really incredible that he was grading out as that as a 19-year-old.
Yeah. So looking at this entire, you know, statistic, which one of these like pops the most to you when you look at it?
It was already mentioned, but his scoring gravity as a 19-year-old center being in the 90th percentile in the league, while he's not even fully like running offense, because like a lot of that sometimes is tied to just like volume as well, of like just being able to be someone who's scoring all the time and kind of just sucking the defense in, that like kind of ups that Z score on the value. And like he was able to do it while not being, you know, number one in touches on his team. And he was just so good on the low post and so good from the elbows. And like he just through the tracking data, like he sucked defenses towards him. And that's crazy at his age. Like that's such an encouraging number. And if you look at that list of top guys in scoring gravity, it's kind of just all the best players in the league. So that's something that I think is incredibly encouraging for what his future can look like as a playmaker and as a scorer, but especially just opening things up for all these other offensive studs you got on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm happy you pointed those things out. You know, looking at this and saying that this applies for every single player in the league, like passing creation quality, being in the 96th percentile as a 19-year-old center is absurd to me. So just getting him those starting reps, he's just going to flourish, you know, next to everybody on the court with extended minutes. He's only going to get better as time goes on. But of course, I can only say this so many times, I'm extremely excited for LP to be a Rocket for the long-term future. But Will, looking at that last graph and these stats right here, what are your thoughts on LP in this situation?
I mean, it's one crazy to see, like you said, that a guy who just turned 20, so he was 19 for the majority of the season, or the entirety of the season, actually, you know, for him to grade out this well compared to not just, you know, because like if it was comparing him to centers, I think obviously he would, like, the playmaking talent would just, you know, pop off, passing efficiency, that would pop off. But comparing him to every player eligible in the NBA, I mean, like, one, it's kind of a weird thing where you're like, this is amazing, but you're kind of not shocked, though, right? Like, from watching him all season long, and, like, we were saying it from the moment we saw him. I don't know about you, Brad, and Steven. I had no idea who he was when the world's notification hit my phone and said that the Rockets, we traded for him, and it was like, we got Alper. I'm like, bro, who is this guy? Because I was
I knew him.
I never heard of him. I was a huge what's the dude who plays for the Pelicans now? Small. I think he went like pick 17. What is his name?
Trey Murphy.
Trey Murphy. I was big on Trey Murphy. I thought he was gonna and I take it back. I still am big on Trey Murphy. I thought
he's good.
I thought he was gonna be like the perfect fit next to, you know, when Christian Wood was supposed to be a building block of our team, and then KPJ, Jalen. I thought you could like slot him in at that three run tated like at the four, then you would have, you know, a little solid starting five there. I thought he was going to be like perfect for us. So I was really huge on him coming in. So I, you know, that's my long way saying I wanted us to get Trey Murphy. And then they said we got Şengün. So the first thing I did was literally, I went to YouTube and typed in Alperen Şengün, just like looking at his highlights. And I was like, oh, like, you know, it popped out to you immediately. Then like this guy's IQ and like feel for the game was just like, it, I mean, the only two guys who play that same position who you can say somewhat have that feel is Nikola Jokic and DeMontis Sabonis. I'm not saying he's going to be those two guys. it would be amazing if he turned out to be, you know, one of those two guys. But just, you know what I'm saying, like, that's kind of the elite company he's in. So it's kind of a weird thing, like I said, where it pops out to you and it's like, oh, like, this is pretty interesting. But, like, I'm kind of not surprised, though. Like, this is kind of what you expect, you know, from, you know, except from that moment in time where I was looking at his film from Turkey to where, he, you know, watching a full season of Rockets basketball with Operation Boone. I mean, I said that, like, you know, because we don't have a traditional point guard with Kevin Porter Jr., I have no problem at all with Şengün being our point center, if you will, like, kind of run the offense through him and letting him, you know, be that offensive hub. I mean, you have two guys in KPJ and Jalen. If they can't do nothing else, they can get a bucket, right? So, you know, letting Şengün kind of be the offensive hub and kind of having Jalen and KPJ kind of play off of that. Like I said, like Brad said, I can't really emphasize how excited I am to move forward with this, with that, in that young trio. And then, like you said, inserting Jabari Smith into that to kind of cover up for Şengün's shortcomings on the defensive end, and, you know, just be that floor spacer out there. I think, and this is the last thing I'll say before I pass it off, I think that Şengün obviously is a very, very special talent. You know, and there's very few guys in the NBA who, you know, at his age can do the things that he does offensively. I think for him, it's going to come down to, can he improve defensively enough to where he's 19, he just turned 20. So, like, the sky's the limit for him. Who knows what he can develop into, right? But can he improve defensively enough to where he can, you know, it'll make sense to have him on the court in a playoffs setting? Or does his offense completely outweigh that to the point where, like, you don't care that he's, you know, maybe not giving you as much as you would like defensively, but, like, he's making up for it on the offensive end. So that's just kind of where I'm at with Alperen Şengün right now.
Yeah, Steven, before we get to the next graphic, did you have anything else you wanted to input?
Yeah, just quick. As far as his draft stuff, like, I was pretty surprised he wasn't picked sooner. He was the MVP of the Turkish League at 18, and, like, that a lot of the international scouts would say the Turkish League is possibly the third best league in the world. So I was pretty surprised. Also, like, 5 years younger than Chris Duarte, who got picked in front of him, wow, which I think is insane. I mean, by the time he's done with his rookie contract, he'll be, like, the same age as Duarte was when he got drafted. So that's pretty crazy. And then secondly, on the defense, that is the obviously the thing. I mean, it goes without saying, but the one fear I have is that guys like a Jokic, or even a little bit to a lesser extent, like a Sabonis, but they're just bigger than Şengün, which, like, is kind of reductive, but there is a certain point where, like, being big allows you to be a more effective deep drop big just by taking up space, because you bend angles in a different way when you're huge than you do when you're 6'9". And that's the thing. It's like, to survive as a 6'9 center, you need to have other traits that really lend you to be able to, like, overcome that. And that's where Şengün doesn't really have that either. So that's the thing where it's like, he needs to be able to up his athleticism, like his quick burst and short area burst stuff, and, like, able to kind of hang on the perimeter is going to be crucial for him becoming, like, an actual, like, all-star level player, in my opinion, or, like, a playoff impact player. But I think he has it in him, because he has really nice hands. Like, he has, like, the anticipatory stuff that's important, but Jokic kind of has that anticipatory stuff and the lack of athleticism, but he's just so big that he's actually grading out as, like, a positive defender oftentimes as far as, like, statistically. And I don't know if Şengün will ever get there, but I want him to be, like, a playmaker, like, force a ton of steals, kind of get in the passing lanes, be a roamer. And that's where it's like, if Jabari can turn into a legitimate, like, rim protector more so than just a wing defender, which if he tops out as a really good wing defender, that's still excellent. But if he can play that role, that will be just everything for Şengün. That'll unlock him. But that's all I got.
I agree. No, those are really good points. Those are really good points. Şengün, I think, will definitely get unlocked in the next few years, hopefully this upcoming year. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But another statistic that I'm going to pull up, the last graph for you guys today, is going to, you know, look more so at movement impact versus, you know, isolation scoring, you know, two skills, as Steven pointed out on his tweet, you know, two skills that often serve as indicators for offensive impact. And it's two things that rookies typically struggle with. So the Rockets had two players at the top of this graphic with all rookies. You see Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün towards the top. Interestingly enough, only Austin Reeves above Jalen Green. But yeah, Steven, what were your thoughts on this? We also have Josh Christopher way at the bottom for ISO scoring. But Steven, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think this is the thing that, I mean, that's what you're looking for with the top three pick. You know, that's what you see Jalen Green here. And this is points per possession. So this is an efficiency stat, which does not take into account the volume. It's just how good, you know, how efficient you were on the isolation attempts you had. And Jalen Green had 10,000 million times more isolations than Austin Reeves. So he's definitely a much better isolation player than Austin Reeves. Also, like, 5 years younger than Austin Reeves as well. But yeah, that's the kind of thing where it's like, if his isolation stuff was the second most efficient in the league, and he was as a rookie, amongst rookies, I should say, and he was doing the most of it amongst rookies, that's something that bodes super, super well. Like, that's a kind of like blue chip thing that you can just put in your back pocket and be like, this is something we could bank on for a long time. Like, those late shot clock, those crunch time opportunities when we need to get a bucket, like you were saying, like, Jalen Green is going to be able to be that for you guys. And that's something, you know, right? You're aware of that. His 3-point right. shot creation looking really nice. Like, I like to see him really even get a little more, like, he on his drives, like, he definitely, like, he'll kind of lull some people to sleep and, like, do his thing. But I'd like to see it get even more, like, kind of lean into some of his bag of tricks that he has, and, like, just get creative with it, like, have fun this year. Like, that's the kind of stuff he was starting to do later in the season, like, when he was really taking off, like, in March and April, like, averaging like 28 points a game in April and like 9 3-point attempts a game, hitting 39%. Like, that's the kind of stuff where it's like, man, like, he might just be kind of a souped up version of Jalen Green, or of not of himself, of Zach LaVine. Where it's like, this dude could be efficient at all three levels, explosive athlete, and then just playmake off of that. It makes playmaking so much easier when your isolation is strong. And that's where he's going to get a lot of his gravity from. So exciting about that. As far as Jacob goes, listen, it's not great when you're lower than Jalen Suggs on an isolation efficiency chart, because that man was struggling pretty hard this year. But we got to see him cook a little bit in summer league. I mean, he's a really good athlete. And he did move well. I mean, like, his movement impact is interesting. I like him as a cutter and a slasher. And, like, the hope is that he just sort of can parlay some of that athleticism into, like, actually being functional on the court. But he's so young too. I mean, that's the one where it's like, we're just taking a shot on a freak athlete, see what happens.
Yeah. Eye test, you know, Will, I want to ask you about this as well. Eye test would not tell me that Jacob was this bad of an isolation score. Maybe these are just like late shot clock moments where he's just missing shots, but he's obviously missing them. But man, I wouldn't guess he was the worst rookie in the NBA as an ISO score in points per possession. What do you think about that, Will?
All right, so real quick, before I answer that question, and I'm breaking this live on the on the podcast. You see, Josh has retweeted you, Brad.
Josh Christopher retweeted me?
Yeah.
Wait, nice. What tweet?
As you slander him.
Yeah. Steven Chan.
Matter of fact, hold on. I gotta move this down to get Brad's reaction. Yeah. Dale, you just got retweeted by Josh Christopher.
What's was it the signed autographs?
No. It was the one you did where you put out his birthday, game on his birthday, I believe. Was that
T-Wolves became the third youngest player in NBA history to score 19 points off the bench in a quarter. That's a Brad stat right there. Yes, sir. It will, if we can load that stat up onto the you gotta do that.
You put it on the screen. Put it on the screen.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. That's cool. No. I appreciate that, Will.
Yeah, I'll move the graph back. But yeah, no, I mean, you're right, Brad. The eye test, like, cause I'm not a huge stat head like you two guys obviously are. I'm more just like, if it's something that, like, I think needs context within a stat, I'll go look for it. But, like, I'm not really looking for it, you know, crazy stats, especially like something as specific as this. But like Brad said, like, it didn't seem like that. Like, I remember, I mean, you probably know this, Steven, cause you look at this stuff. But, like, I didn't realize how bad Josh Christopher shot from three until I looked at it at the end of the season. I'm like, I thought he shot better than this. Like, and it to me, it felt like, I mean, I knew he was not, like, you know, knocking him down. He wasn't, like, you know what I'm saying? There was a reason that, like, I'd say like Garrison Matthews is better. Like, yeah, I wouldn't say he's there. But like, man, I think he shot like, was it like 27%? Like it was,
yeah,
it was bad. So to your point, Brad, no, it definitely does not seem that way. I don't know what it is about Josh Christopher and, you know, him playing basketball that doesn't make it seem like that. You know, it's the stats look a little bit different than what the actual product looks like. But I mean, no, I'm still, I don't know if there's any like long-term conclusions to draw from this though. I still think that, Josh Christopher is one of the most talented players in last year's draft. I think if we were to do it again, he'd go a lot higher than 24. And I'd still give him, you know, I think he's taking the trending in the right direction to be. I've been kind of using this analogy, Steven, but like the Eric Gordon to KPJ and Jalen's James Harden and Chris Paul, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, so this doesn't really move me too much, but yeah, to answer your question, it does shock you though.
Yeah, I guess the other thing I wanted to touch on, you know, as Steven touched on as well, Josh is a really good, you know, he has a really good movement impact, you know, per 75. So that's really nice to see. I want to look at this graphic. I should have pulled up for the podcast. Poor preparation on my part, but I want to see where KJ Martin is on a graphic like this, because he moves so much off the ball and he fits really well with Shangun on the court. But just looking at Josh, I don't think he's that bad of an ISO scorer. He obviously was terrible last season looking at this, but I don't think that's the kind of player he's projected to be as. He had some bright moments as an ISO scorer, and I think hopefully he'll be in the middle of this graphic at the end of next year. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah
and he was given
– go ahead.
My bad. Given the reins more, I think, too, than some of these other guys. Like, you know, Corey Kispert wasn't out there trying to cook people, so right. Maybe his points per possession is a little higher. So he was probably – and that's similar with Suggs, too. Like, I can attest to this where it's like he was given probably too much responsibility, but you're on a bad team. You're kind of trying to see what you got, and that's the thing. And also the other one would be, like, a little bit of aesthetic bias where it's like, man, Jacob's pretty cool. Like, look at him go out there. And then you're like, I thought he made more shots than that. But that happens for all of us. That's my I fall into that with Brandon Ingram so heavy, where it's like, man, he must hit like 85% of his shots, right? And then you look and you're like, oh, his efficiency is kind of trash. How did that happen? But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. Some guys just look cool out there. And that's okay.
Yeah. Last thing I'll touch on with this. You gotta touch on Shangun again, man. Look, fourth best ISO score, regardless of the volume. Forget the volume. You know, he's fourth best ISO score in the league. You know, unless we're talking about Austin.
Better than Anthony Davis. You know?
Yeah, he's better than Anthony Davis. But yeah, you know, Shangun, really impressive again as ISO score, post score. We're not gonna look at his rim shot quality. That's one thing we're not gonna look at. Me and Steven were talking about that the other day. But he, interestingly enough, he created more unassisted looks for himself in the paint than any other center in the NBA last season, which is absurd. But he just needs to make those shots a little bit more. And I think he's going to be able to do that. But for him to be able to create a shot like that as a 19-year-old is really telling, because the shots are going to start to fall. And when they do, he's going to be deadly. And that's not even talking about playmaking, right? He's going to be an absurd playmaker too. So he projects to be in an offensive machine, especially if he's able to score in isolations like this. But that's all I have to touch on with this graphic. Will or Steven, did you guys have anything else to touch on? Those are all the graphs that we had for today.
Nah, shout out to my boy Franz Wagner, though, number two.
I actually have, speaking of Franz, I have something fun for you to do before we end the podcast. And, you know, put you on the spot a little bit. Uh-oh. But but if we did a 10-man draft and the players eligible are the 25 and under players on the Rockets and the Magic, what are those 10 players in order? And I if you need help, I have the names pulled
up. The list.
For
okay. Tough. Are we including rookies?
Yeah, anybody who's on that roster who's under the age of 25 or 25 and under is eligible to be taken in this draft.
Man, you're gonna make me pick Franz over Jalen Green on a Rockets pod. That might get me crucified. I don't know. All right. So Paolo one, I think.
Okay, so you're taking Paolo over Jalen.
I like Paolo over Jalen. I think it's just important. Sizes is so important for translating the playoffs and being able to like overcome certain things that smaller guys have trouble overcoming. I think both of their playmaking, I think Jalen Green's playmaking is super underrated, honestly.
Agree.
But I think Paolo's is already really nice. He has a ton of handle. I think the defensive stuff will be easier to overcome than Green because he's already pretty physical. So he's able to just kind of hang in. He just needs to kind of wake up. Right. So I would take Paolo one. Oh, man. I do. It's really, it really hurts my heart. I think long term, man, I probably do think Green has a smidge higher ceiling than Wagner. I just love Franz. Watching him play night in and night out, he's just such a like gifted guy. But I would probably go Green 2. I would definitely go Wagner 3. I think that's a tier. Jabari's right there. I guess Jabari 4 and then probably a tier.
Okay.
And then, so now we're looking at, so it's like Suggs, Fultz, I'm trying to think of the other.
I got you. If you need.
Yeah, hit me.
If you need help. So you got Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
Wendell Carter Jr., Markelle Fultz, Jonathan Isaac, Jalen Suggs.
And I forgot about Jonathan.
Yeah, that squad's kind of nice. I'm not going to name.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for the Rockets, you have KPJ, Shingun, Josh, KJ, Tari, Ty, and Garuba.
Ooh, man, I love Tari too. Yeah, so I would definitely, so after Bari, I'll go Wendell. I think he's just like established. Like if he's healthy, he's going to be kind of a fringe all-star guy for a long time. After that, man, like I think Şengün and Tari and KPJ are all kind of like in a very similar tier for me in that way. I would probably put all three of those guys. I might put all three of those guys over Suggs right now. I don't know.
You haven't taken Suggs yet. I was just going to point that out.
Yeah. I think Suggs's point of attack defense was incredible last year. Like actually among rookies, it was like definitely the best. And among just players in general, it was probably in the top like 25, 30, which is crazy for a rookie guard. So his like physicality, his transition stuff, it's just his offense was so bad last year that it's, I want to see a little bit more before, because it was just really destructive. The turnovers and the shooting was just rough, and he was finding his pace, and he had a hurt, he broke his thumb and he had hurt ankles. So like, I'm kind of willing to give him a pass, but I've seen more from like Şengün, who's a year younger. But Suggs does kind of translate maybe as a playoff player a little more. So I think, yeah, after Wendell, man, yeah, probably give me, it's so tough. I'm really high on Şengün. I might go Şengün and then like Suggs, then maybe KPJ, then Tari, and then who else am I got? What
does
am
that
I
put
at?
You at eight?
Yeah, and then see. I mean, it's I love two. Isaac, but he just
so I know, I know one of the guys from 9 and 10. You just tweeted about him. You said hop on the MIP train. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, true. I do love my.
You
say you
you had, so this would be your 10th pick, unless I can't do math. But if you want to keep going, you can. I just gave you 10 because I thought it would be difficult. But
I mean, I might have to, I'm not going to lie, I kind of forgot about Fultz. I'm probably going to have to sneak him up a little bit. I do love this Markelle. Like, let me put him over, I'm really high on Fultz. Let me put him over Suggs, like nice. That one spot above Suggs.
Interesting.
And then that would be 10, and I feel good about that.
Really okay, quick. So I'm gonna go ahead, Will.
Oh, so I'm going to repeat out your 10 that you took, and you know you can finalize it if you want, or you can move people around, add somebody else. And like I said, you still have – I actually like Isaac. I don't know about you.
I do too. He's kind of like doesn't exist right now for Magic fans. Like he's just until we see something. He hasn't played in like 2.5 years, so he could definitely easily be on this list. But for now, he's like not available for choice.
That's fair. And so okay. Actually, I'll take it. I'm looking at this list and like I don't think you left anybody off. Maybe Josh, but it is what it is, right? So you took Paolo 1, Jalen 2, Franz 3, Jabari 4, Wendell 5, Şengün 6, Fultz 7, Suggs 8, KPJ 9, and Tari 10.
I actually feel great about that.
Okay, then.
Yeah. I'll say one quick thing about Fultz. So I guess starting lineup wise for the Magic, you guys would go Suggs, Fultz, Franz, Banchero, and Wendell. Is that the five for you?
I think, probably by the end of the year, I'd be surprised if Suggs is starting right away. I think we're either going to go – what happened? Oh, what's you're that? Just surprised.
No. I'll say we did forget somebody. Did you want to throw Cole Anthony in there at any point in time? Or is he – would you put Cole Anthony over Tari Eason or Cole Anthony? I guess that's what it kind of
comes I kind of like Tari Eason more than I like Cole Anthony, I would say probably. I like Cole Anthony. I just – There's just a little, I don't know. He's got, I like him. He just has kind of six man written all over him, which is okay. Like he's got that. He's got a lot of shooting off the dribble, and he had stretches last year where he was really nice, but he just can't finish and can't play defense, and he's small, and it's just kind of like, ah, man, I don't know about long-term stuff. But non-athletic small guards, you just have to be so good at everything else that it's hard to overcome. But, yeah, so that's the thing. Cole could start. I think he's probably going to come off the bench, him and Suggs, early on, and they're going to start Gary Harris at two just to give some shooting, kind of almost like your Garrison Matthews play where it's just like nice. We just need somebody out there who could shoot and play a little bit of defense to allow the young guys to kind of cook a little bit, and then we can let the other young guys cook while the other guys sit on the bench. So that's my guess. But if Suggs is looking really nice over the summer, like I could see them just starting. Also, they have a lot of draft capital tied up in him, so they want him to look good. So that wouldn't surprise me either. But I'm like 99.9% sure Fultz is starting, and then we're just figuring out what's going to happen at two.
Good. I'm excited for Fultz. I was huge on him. He got drafted to Philly. It sucks to see what happened to him. The games where he played last year, he just gets to the rim so easily.
Yeah, he's electric, man.
Yeah. I'm excited to see. Hopefully he can get that MIP next year. If it isn't KP,
that's fair.
If it is a KP, you know, maybe Fultz will be two in that race, but... But yeah, that's it for me in this podcast. If you guys have anything else to input,
I went ahead and did my own version using the players that he took. So okay, I'll say it one more time. He took Paolo, Jalen, Franz, Jabari, Wendell, Shingle, Fultz, Suggs, KBJ, Tari. How I would do it, and this is probably going to show a little bit of, you know, I don't know, maybe he did some Orlando bias, some Houston bias, right? I'd take Jalen 1, Paolo 2, Jabari 3, Franz 4, this is the shocker, KPJ 5, Wendell 6, Shingun 7, Fultz 8, Suggs 9, Suggs 9, and Tari 10. Actually, I think would swap Suggs and Fultz if I could do it again, but yeah, that's where I would do mine. So
I'll hold on.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, that's a segment for next podcast, right?
Yeah. I'll fumble that somehow. But for me, again, Instagram and Twitter, all that good stuff. You find me at Brado NBA, all your favorite Rockets content. If you're still with us, go ahead and drop that subscribe button. We really appreciate you. You know, we're making our way up, you know, slowly and surely. But that's it for me. Will, go ahead and plug yourself.
Yeah. So like Bryce said, thank you guys for listening. Shout out Clutch City Control Room, Instagram, Twitter. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter myself at Bias Houston. And Steven, thank you for taking time out today to come talk with us. I know we kind of put you on the spot there with that last little game, and then we had you kind of explain to me your graphs on Twitter. So thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt, fellas. Appreciate y'all having me on. Check me out at NBA University, and I'll be keeping in touch with y'all. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Again, if you haven't followed Steven already, make sure to do that. Again, one of the fastest growing pages for a reason. Best NBA account out there. I'll put it out there. I think he's the best NBA account out right now. So you're missing out if you're not following him. So go ahead and drop the follow. But yeah, Steven, it's a pleasure having you on. We're going to try to get you on again in the future for sure. So you guys make sure to stay tuned, and we'll be back next Monday for an episode.
Peace.